We have our final Sunday morning brew conversation this morning, and these conversations we've been engaging with over the summer are about following Jesus. Think of them as up-to-date, ongoing testimonies of the, as if you remember Brandon talking about, where's Jonah chapter 5, as we're all kind of experiencing our Jonah chapter 5 still being written in all of our lives. That's what these Sunday morning brews are to bring to light, is that it's a journey, it's a walk, sometimes it's a run, sometimes it's a crawl, but we still continue to follow Jesus. And so we want to have these because the Bible tells us in Revelation that we overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, we sang about the cross, but also the word of our testimony. It's the word of our testimony, of our ongoing testimony. In Revelation specifically, it's the ultimate testimony of willing to lay down one's life because you believe so strongly in the master that you follow. But it also still involves our words, what we share. That's our testimony, our ongoing life as a testimony. So as these testimonies are shared, it gives us all a chance to grow in our own fellowship, to mature in our faith, and to strengthen in our resolve. In short, these testimonies are meant to help us all overcome the adversary. They're meant to be a model for what these conversations can look like, to normalize them. Because when we say discipleship, what we talk about falls under that. How we talk falls under that. And frankly, we as believers, we don't always do this all that well. Right, we can talk about all kinds of things and sometimes bring the Lord into it. We can talk about all kinds of kingdoms and sometimes bring the only kingdom that matters into the conversation. And so these Sunday morning brews are meant to demonstrate what is conversational, relational discipleship. Something many of you already do, but it's something all of us can still grow in. And today with me, I invite up Darrell Wallace, one of our elders, a sound guy. Most of you know him. He's probably engaged you in a conversation at some point. If you haven't, be sure to engage him in a conversation today afterwards. He lost his headphone already. All right. Off to a good start. Yeah, if that's the side you want. I'll let you fix that a while. We're going to be guided by the same questions we've kind of been guided by all summer, only this time we're really going to just lean into Jonah, because we just spent 4 weeks in Jonah, and now we're going to just have a conversation kind of around Jonah, and we're going to see where the Lord leads, trusting that he's got some really cool things planned for us this morning. So as I understand it, Darrell, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jonah is one of your favorite books, right?
Before we get started,
okay,
I want to be still and I want to pray, because I want God to have control of
it. Amen.
So let's do that. Then let his word be what it is.
All right.
All right. Dear God, I thank you for today. And I thank you also, dear God, for each person that's here. And I thank you for your presence among us. But I pray, dear God, and ask that you would help us to sense that presence. Help us to know that you're with us and that you're for us. And as we use words here today, God, let those words be your words and the thoughts be your thoughts, so that we would know you better and to trust you more for leading us how you're leading us. And so I thank you for Chris and his willingness to bring me up here, and for the opportunity to share how you've been working in my lives and in the lives of other people that may be brought up in here today. And so I thank you and praise you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
So Jonah.
Yeah.
One of your favorite books. Is that the correct thing to say? Or you have a certain...
Could be the book of the day, Chris. Listen, I don't know if I would say it was my favorite book, but it's a book I'm familiar with that God has spoken to me through that. And I've seen him in very real ways through the book of Jonah.
That's so awesome.
I will just say it's...
Over the years, too. Not just recently, but over the years. Jonah has spoken to you?
Yes. If I go way back, when my parents got back together, they wanted to send me, I was going to this Bible college or Bible school down at the church that my parents attend. And Jonah was one of the books as a young kid that we had to look through. And I had to write a report. You know, I'm not the one that likes to write things.
We do know that.
Yeah, so it was in that instance that it meant something for me to be able to sit still as a teenager and think through what God was saying. So, yes, and then fast forward, Jonah showed up for me. I think we were reading it as an elder team, and at that time I was working at FedEx. Mm-hmm. And so you remember the story. I'm going to have to share with everybody, but the story was I was really literally doing a Jonah and going the other way because I didn't want to apologize for my actions. Huh?
So, yeah, it's not easy to do.
Huh?
Anyone else become Jonah? Anyone? Yeah, there you go. See you there. Apologizing for your actions.
Well, listen, we're going to get into this. I don't know what all the questions are. I know I've read it through them, but I'm not
That's
exactly
just a guide
sure.
if we need it, man.
We may need it. Knowing that I had to come up here and talk about this, just God's been prompting me with a lot of different things. And I wanted to ask the audience a question.
Oh.
I'll ask you first because you're up here with me. If you had to give two words to describe Jonah, what would they be? Just two words.
Two words yeah. to describe Jonah.
I was going to just say one, but I'm going to say two words.
Let's see.
I'm going to write it down. You notice I don't like to write things down, but today I'm writing them down.
Conflicted ambassador.
Conflicted ambassador, those are your two words.
And Tim I had one.
Huh?
Transitioning.
The two words. Now listen, we're not going to get to all of this today. Like, I'm going to probably talk to you later about your words that you're using.
So that means everybody be ready, because he will come one at a time.
Especially if I wrote it down. Who else had spoke?
Someone said hostile, right?
Who?
Us.
There you go. Okay. Us and us. But I need two words.
Ooh, that's good. That's me.
Us and that's me?
Yeah, yeah.
All one word or two words? Unmet and then expectations. Okay. And you'll have to forgive me, Rebecca. I asked you that last night. It's Isaac's girlfriend. But then I went to bed and forgot what she told me.
Oh, no!
So I do make the joke to say I think I got a little Alzheimer's going on, but that's okay. Unfair and pride. Okay. We got about... Huh? Something else?
Not trusting.
Okay.
Prophet. Reluctant before that. Oh, I like that. Reluctant prophet.
So we're going to put reluctant prophet together? Awesome. All right.
I've heard him described that way.
So this is... So how God's been speaking through me is, if you read through the whole book of Jonah at the end, it never tells you anything in regards to you and Jonah. I mean, between Jonah and God, God never lets that get like that. And so if you ask me why I like the book so much, because it leaves you, me and God personally, talking to each other. There's not a whole bunch of, there's characters in the book, but there's not many that can distract us from who the two main characters are. And so when we're reading sometimes, like, you know, looking through the lens of how we're reading it, you can get all of these different things about what you see and what you think God is saying. And so it's interesting to me. And I think this is one of your questions, but I'm going to jump right into it, because this time around, me reading through Jonah, God was saying something different to me. And so the two words that I had were self-righteous and kindness, but loving kindness. But I'll just use the word kindness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But we'll get into why, but you'll keep talking. Because I don't want to do all the talking like that. Unless you're going to prompt me for some questions.
They hear from me a lot, you know. They want to hear from you.
They want
to
hear, all right.
When you hear the word discipleship, right? We talk about Jonah, but all this is talking about discipleship. What does it mean to you when you hear the word discipleship?
It means to me, it means as if I'm going to break that word discipleship down, it's between me and God.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm having God disciple me, then me walking alongside someone else is like discipleship. Because as God's talking to me and leading me, I would want the other person to know who God is for themselves also.
Yeah.
Because in that, in this discipleship process, just like all these words, we all come from different backgrounds, different all kinds of things. But this ideal is to, we sung that song, Behold Him. And we're trying to encourage each other to, you know, God wants us to know Him. He already knows us, but He's always desiring for us to know Him. And discipling means to me just helping people to know who God is for themselves. Because God's helping me to know who I am. You know what I mean? So I would want to carry that forward. That would be, that's how I view discipleship, if that makes any sense.
And what? How do you live that out in your daily life? What's that look like? Whether at home or at work or at the 7-Eleven.
Well, listen, it all starts with how still I am with God. And I know we, in our own little duad together, we talked about how I think about things and how I consider what God is saying. And when me and God are tracking, then I would like to consider myself an agent, an agent for Christ, or whatever that is, because it's intentional. And over the years, you never know always the time when God has you someplace to do something.
Right.
And if you're not ready, you'll be missing opportunities. And so it's how I wake up in the morning, being mindful of Him. I'm not the biggest reader. I do read, but I'm not the biggest reader. I'm not, I wouldn't come up here and tell everybody I read my Bible every day, because I don't. But at the core of what I'm thinking when I get up, I got to know that God is real and He exists and He's for me. And He slows me down to be able to do those things. But like I said, that's not always my first take. It's not how I'm wired in some kind of way. And, you know, I used to beat myself up a lot that I'm not a big reader like that. But, you know, I have been through the whole Bible back and to forward. I'm aware of what it says, but I know that when God speaks to me, I'm aware of it fully. And I don't know any other way how to say it like that. But as
I'm
going to
press into that a little bit. I'm going to press into that a little bit. How you know it's God and
I may have to take this mic off. it's very loud. Because of what he says in his word. And I, like I said, I do read his word, but I'm not an everyday reader. I don't want to come up and misrepresent myself up here in that way. So based off of what his word says to me and how I perceived over the years how he has spoken to me through my heart, through my spirit, I want to say in John, we're going to get right after it, and we're going to have to slow this down, and I'll break out where I was at this morning. In John, I should just break out my phone to do it. It's the scripture where Jesus is talking about worshiping him, but in spirit and in truth. And so,
woman at the well.
Yeah, that's where I was trying to get to. Four? Yeah. There it is.
It was four.
Right to it. So Jesus goes on. He's having this conversation with the woman, who evidently is she's not a believer in that kind of way, but she's looking for something. And so, if we pick up in 13, she's talking about this well that Jacob gave her. You know that they that this well that they're drinking from, that it's from Jacob. And it says in 13, it says, Jesus, you know, she said, hey, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herd drank from this water. And then Jesus answered her and he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so this ideal of, we're aware of the saying that, like, we're Christ in us, and you know that's our hope. And so, when I'm knowing that God speaks to me, it's in the hope of what He said, what He's already done, and it matches up to whatever Scripture may say,
right,
that it means something. But even if I'm off, He's still good, and I'll have to trust him for telling me that I'm wrong, because, like, this is the Jonah story in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use the word self-righteousness. You follow me? Because
yep.
I'm very aware of myself that I can be self-righteous, very much so, that I think I'm right. And because of however I think God's speaking to me, how I may portray things, I can come off that way. I don't desire to, but it's in me. It's just like I can steal God's glory. It's in me to do it. I don't desire it, but it comes up. I get going, and I'm always like, hey, you got to calm down. You're getting all crazy. Because I'm like, yo, I see all this stuff. I want to do it. But it's not, you know, it may not be God's time or me to do it. And so anyway, as he's going on, so this ideal of Christ in us is how I know he's speaking to me. And the woman said to him, sir, give me water so that I can get give me water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Which means she's getting tired of it herself. She really doesn't want to keep coming there too. She wants, there's something she's looking for. And so then Jesus goes on to say, you are right when you say you have, he told her to go call her husband and come back. And she didn't have a husband. So anyway, further going on, He says, you're right when you say that you don't have any husband. In fact, that is that you have five husbands, and the man that you're now with have not your husband. What you have is just, what you have just said is quite true. Okay, and then, sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you, the Jews, claim that the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, and we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But yet a time is coming, and now has come, because he's here. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so it's the ideal of the Spirit of God and me being truthful about where I'm at. He speaks to me there. You can tell when the father of lies is trying to speak to you, because it's meant to go a certain direction. It's meant to hurt, to harm, to judge, to punish, and that's not God's way.
Right.
We already know that that's not his way. If he sent his son into this world to die, he didn't do all that for no reason, just to kill us. He desires for us to do good and to be good. But we can't do that on our own, so we got to tell him, hey, I don't know anything. I don't have anything
right.
to give other than what he gives me.
Yeah.
So that's how that's a roundabout way. I know it probably doesn't make sense.
No. So kind of like you used the word agent, then you brought this out. So an agent in your ways maybe is seeing all people as people looking for something, that something being the Lord, and staying on track to be able to share the Lord with them.
Sure.
Because nothing else satisfies. You just get thirsty again.
Yes. In that way.
So it could be neighbors, could be coworkers.
Wherever I'm at.
People here gathered on a Sunday morning.
They know me here. I'm intentional, mm-hmm. put it that way. I'm very intentional. But at times, like I said, I'm not perfect either. Sometimes I don't want to be bothered with people at times. Sometimes I'll go to the Walmart and I'll try to not look at people so that I can get in and get out. Because my wife says, hey, you're only going to get milk and this other thing, and you're 2 hours. I was like, dear, people started talking. No, you weren't. You were talking to them. I said, because they were talking to me. But it's in those times that even in those little instances, those are, to me, discipleship moments, because if I'm meeting somebody right where they're at, it's always in the middle of whatever they got going on and whatever God's been saying to me. And so we have a brief conversation about stuff.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we get into stuff right away. You know, it's not like the woman at the well where it's all drawn out about she's hiding, jumping around, trying to not say what it is. And I could, listen, I just found out something this weekend or over this week. I wasn't thinking about it this way. But me, my brother, and my sister are like, we're alike in some, like we're aggressive towards getting to something. And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm like my sister. Like, yeah, and in a way I am. We may go about it differently, but at the heart of however we grew up or however it is, we're intent. It can be intense in some kind of conversation or mm-hmm. how we're seeing things, and we're not letting it go like that. You're not going to change our minds about whatever it is. We're that way. And but when I'm out, I mean, I'm that way about whoever God sometimes puts in front of me. Sometimes I don't say anything, and it just happens. So that answered our question.
Absolutely. And so we're talking about hearing from God, and recited prayers aren't maybe your thing. Is that what we found out at our leadership council meeting?
All right, now we got to talk about that.
So at our last leadership council meeting, I opened with a printed prayer that we all kind of read out loud together, or wrote kind of back and forth. So that is when I say recited prayer, that's what it is. So it's there, and you're sort of speaking out other people's words, because it's not really your prayer, it's someone else's prayer, right? So recited prayer. So I opened leadership council in that way this past week.
Yes.
And you were loving it.
No, I was not. No, but what truly was going on, and we didn't rectify that till Thursday or later on, I was angry with you.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
But he laughs when he says it. And so I was like, oh, is he really mad at me, or is he mad at me?
I was very angry.
So what you got to know about Daryl is just because he laughs doesn't mean he's kidding.
No, not at all. I'm
very serious.
I'm very serious.
Very serious.
And I don't like to, again, like I told you, me, my brother, and my sister could be highly, but I would choose to do a different way. It's like me and my dad are kind of really alike, but he's just different in how he approaches things than I do. More like my mother. I'll be all sit back and.
And you and Isaac are pretty much alike, too. You just approach things differently.
Yeah, yes, we are. He thinks that I'm not serious. So the people in the street see me as serious. The people that know me in some other kind of way may not see that like that, because you guys see other sides of me that they don't see. But, again, I'm very serious when I'm saying something. I may be laughing and joking or whatever, or trying to bring brevity to a situation, not to just go crashing in and so I was stewing in some kind of way, like the Jonah situation. I was very much stewing, and that spoken prayer, just, I don't know how you looked at me when you said, hey, we're getting ready to do this in the meeting, but my nose was turned up. I was like, man, this is in here. Like, I was angry. And partly because it was another meeting. And to speak towards my self-righteousness, sometimes, and you know, because we talk in this way, if I think God already said something, I'll be like, well, dude, he already said it. Like, what else are we in here doing that we're wasting all this time for the stupidness? I'll call it stupidness. And I don't mean it like that to hurt people, because it took time to put it together. But this is just explaining where my heart was at. And so I didn't want to come to the meeting in the first place, is what I told you.
Yep.
And then I kind of came and said, well, listen, I'm not saying that to hold, you know, because you asked, because we were supposed to get together and to talk about what we were going to do here Sunday. And I said, listen, if I do the one thing to talk about this, what we're going to go up on stage, I'm not coming to the ministry meeting. And then I stopped myself, and then I said to you, I said, I'm not saying it as a threat.
Right.
Because I didn't want it to come off that way. But I can't do both, because I was already getting tired, because I worked a night shift. And I don't sleep much as it is, but I know if I don't get any sleep, I can get really cranky. Like, I can't hide it anymore. If something's going on, it's coming out, because I have no more filter, because I'm just at odds. And so, to go along with what you're saying, as you brought that up for us to read that, because I think we might have had an exchange about something, but as I'm reading it, I'm wondering what everybody else is thinking while we're all in there reading. And it's like, I don't even know what I just said. And I said, because that ain't my prayer. Like, that's somebody else's prayer that I'm trying to slow down. And the print was small, and you know how I my vision. And I'm trying to read it all, and then we're going. But there were three things that were popping out in what all the stuff that we read that night. And it was peace, God's grace, and glory. Like, those were the three things that, like, hit me as I thought about it later. But as we were reading it at the time, my nose was turned sideways like, this is ridiculous. So,
right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't your thing. But then afterwards, getting back to how God speaks to you, you were on your way to work.
Yes.
And the prayer was ruminating through your mind in peace, grace, and glory.
That didn't come until later.
And when did that come in?
Well, to the song that we were talking about in regards to giving testimony. But
was that all before the encounter with the coworker?
All this is before.
You had an encounter with a coworker too.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
All right.
Well, listen, now we're jumping around. We're acting like we are in the room when it's just me and you, but all these people are sitting.
Hey, we want it to be real. This is what a conversation looks like, everybody. We're just talking about life following Jesus.
Back and forth. But I do want to back up to the point about in Jonah, because we are summing it up, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And I asked everybody what two words you got out of when you read it. And for me, like, I'm going to explain how God was talking to me in regards to Jonah. And so, like I said, the book closes with, you don't really know where Jonah's left at. He just said, you know, he was angry at the end.
Right.
And it kind of left itself there. And the reason I like that so much is, if I don't read that story and see myself as Jonah, I won't hear God speaking to me.
Absolutely.
Because I wouldn't be being truthful in my own inner parts. And remember, we said God likes worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. And he knows already. So just like that woman at the well, if I'm not willing to be truthful in my heart about where I'm at, how can he speak to me there?
Yeah.
And so as I was reading through Jonah, like I said, I take Jonah for me, and how God's been speaking to me is just he was being self-righteous. And from a standpoint of, he heard what God said, then God throws him to the fact that he knew to just to tell the people to throw him into the water, that he was ready to die. He, even in the midst of all that, he's leaving himself in God's hands. But he's letting God know, hey, this is where I stand, and I don't really like this. And the ending part of what he didn't like was God's kindness.
Right.
And in the midst of my self-righteousness, I can be that way. Because we all get going and we make our own kingdoms and our own traditions about how we think things should be. And like God told Job, where were you when I put the stars in place? Where was he? What could he say? He couldn't say anything.
Right.
Because he doesn't know anything, and I don't know anything. If I'm going to be honest, if I'm comparing myself to who God is, I don't know anything. He may have shown me some things, and those things that he's shown me, in my self-righteousness, I'll be thinking, hey, I'm right, and this has got to be this way, and if it's not, then all these people got to, you know, it's my own little kingdom. But we've been praying about his kingdom.
Right.
But we get caught up with our kingdom in our own self-righteousness. So God was very much speaking to me out of that, that level of self-righteousness. But in the midst, God is still being kind to Jonah in every way possible. To leave him right where it is, and to say to him, like, dude, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so that's why those two words, you know, to me, describe out Jonah, because that's the situation that I was in right now. All of us are in some kind of situation in their lives about who God is and where you stand. And whether it's, read all these words, whether you're conflicted and you know he's an ambassador, that's where you're at. If it's unfair, life can be unfair, and you got pride, that's where you're at. So God will speak to you where you're at in regards to whatever is going on.
Right.
And so, like I said, for me at the time, it was my self-righteousness. And
and if you think about Jonah, Jonah's an extension of Israel, right? So he's almost a representative of them. And they failed to see God's kindness in that time. Because if you remember back to the first sermon that Jerry kicked this one off?
Yes, Jerry took the first
sermon. He was talking about all the expansions that the Northern Kingdom experienced. So they're actually gaining territory. So God's pouring out his blessings on them, but they're blind to it. They're not even seeing his blessing because they're so angry at the fact that these enemies aren't just being...
They're not able to take control of it all.
Yeah, or that he's not being destroying them, and that how dare he allow these people to repent, these people of all people. And so it's interesting. You see the kindness on both sides. You see how God's kind to the Ninevites, how he's kind to Jonah, how he's kind to the people of Israel, an extension of Jonah. But then you also look further into the story and you realize, for those who are like, well, where's justice in all of this? Well, actually, if you try to find Nineveh today, you're not finding this city. And the northern kingdom disappears. Right? So as we talk about God's grace and his goodness and his truth and his mercy, there's also, he is a just God. And eventually, there's a time when he'll say, okay, you kept choosing B, here's B. Right? That's an interesting thing about how the Lord operates in all of our lives. We want it now.
Right.
I want you to get justice now. But God will be just.
He will.
We entrust him to be just?
Listen, he's so kind.
He's terrible.
As my father would say.
Yes.
because he was constantly saving along the way.
Yeah.
The shipwrecked people, the shipmates, they turned. So out of Jonah and his not wanting to, God was still saving the shipwrecked people. And the idea that this was interesting in the story of Jonah, where he finally repents and goes into Nineveh, and it says, hey, Nineveh is a city that with a three-day journey to get through it. He only went a day into it, and God did all the rest. He didn't have to take all 3 days. He went a day into the city, spoke to whoever was at the front, but what he said and what God was doing, it got all the way to the king. He didn't have to even go that far.
Right.
He didn't even have to go that far, but God was very gracious into what he was doing. And so
it's a lot when we talk about, are we joining God in what he's doing?
Yes.
And we can get segued thinking, oh, this is what he's doing, or this is what he's doing. And then he can surprise us sometimes and be like, no, this is what I'm doing. Yeah. Are you going to join me in it? There was another song that's been meaningful to you. It was on your heart. And it's a word. You had a word for the year. So sometimes we encourage people to pick a word for the year, to spend time with the Holy Spirit. And you had a word from the beginning of the year. It was actually last year sometime.
Yes.
And the Lord's really been working that on you.
Yes, he has. Surrender.
Surrender.
yes.
And so how has that been playing out in your life?
A lot of surrender.
Because the same thing you were saying to Jonah, right? He was saying, Jonah, surrender.
The surrender, yes. How much time do we have? 10:30. We're at 10:30 already?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
They didn't know that, then I told them, so.
I want to speak to the congregation at this point. Are you guys ready to let God do something? And if you are, raise your hand, and then we'll know where we're going from here. Hands would be like all the way up. Jesus. Okay. We weren't sure about how to close out this session that we were going to have up here, but when Chris asked me to do this a while back, I didn't want to. Because I told him, hey, I don't like going up front, man. I'm not good at that stuff. Or like, I don't like being up here like that. Because I don't think that's where God's placed me. But, you know, I can be self-righteous, right?
We get you up from time to time.
Yeah, we get you up here from time to time. But if I'm to give the testimony about what God did this past week, or he's probably been doing it for a while, because I don't know how to put the word per se. Either I was stressed, depressed, whatever it was, I know in my heart, like I wasn't right. I couldn't gain focus. I couldn't think correctly. But in the midst of all that, God's been doing stuff. And like I said, this idea, like him showing up and blessing me in certain ways of people at work or people in the street or even with relationships here in the church, like That's the setup for my self-righteousness, okay? But as we're in the story, where it picks up is in my of my life is right before we went on vacation. The place where I work at, like, I was getting in all kinds of trouble. And in my self-righteousness, I'm telling the employer to say, well, if what I'm doing is not right, then fire me. Like, I'm being very bold because I don't really care anymore. Like, because the ways that I thought that the company was being was wrong. And God says it, and he says that, and he says, like, this is wrong. Like, I'm not participating in this kind of craziness. And I was really fighting against the company in that way. That's what I thought. I was fighting against the company, but God had other thoughts. And God has blessed me at this place as far as being a testimony there, because when I first got there, it seemed dark. There was nobody saying love. There was nothing going on in that kind of way. Everybody was just silent and doing their thing. And so over time, like I said, I've been there almost 2 years, God's been moving. And I've seen it. We've talked about it in that kind of way. And so, like I said, I was getting in a lot of trouble. And there was a young Asian kid that worked there. And somehow, the last thing I got in trouble for was they said I was disrespectful to him, or I touched him in some kind of way that wasn't right, And I was, like, incensed. Like, I'm acting like, what? I didn't do that. And so fast forward, we go on vacation, and we're coming back. And like I said, I was ready to quit. Like, my thought was, all right, God, if you don't set up for something else for me to do, like, I don't want to be here no more. And to the point where in my heart, I was wrestling with the fact, if I go in there, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, not talk to nobody, do, and then leave. But I know that wasn't the right thing, because in my spirit, I'm withholding.
Right.
And God did not want that, but it's like, yo, I'm right. And so fast forward, the shift that I work is the third shift, and I've been on that shift by myself for almost a year. And every time they send help, it's some crazy situation where it doesn't work out. And it's like, why did... And so before I left, they were going to have this young kid come be on my shift, but he needed training on the first shift. And so we go on vacation, and we come back. And like I said, fast forward. Like I said, I'm going there, and I'm trying not to say anything. I'm trying to reconcile with the person that I thought, whether I offended or didn't offend it, I like to reconcile things in a way, from as far as it concerns me. Not everybody, if he doesn't want to, it's fine, but I know in my heart I can't leave that out there in that way and then say he, like, even angry with you, I had to be reconciled before I would come up here. You know what I mean? I can't come up here and talk freely knowing that there's something in my heart that ain't right.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't do that. It's not what God, like, leave that sacrifice there and go be true. So anyway, fast forward, we're moving, and so now I'm coming back to work, and we fast forward to the ministry meeting. And like I told you, like, I didn't want to come, and I was tired, and so I thought when I laid down that I would, normally God wakes me up when it's time to go. Like, I really don't always set the alarm clock if I know there's an elder meeting, or so I'll say to God, hey, if you want me there, you'll wake me up. I'm going to trust you for that. Other than that, I ain't coming.
Sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
What's that? What do you mean?
No. Who's there? Any Seinfeld fans out there?
I like Seinfeld.
Doesn't Kramer do that one time for the marathon? Says, don't worry, Jerry, I got you. I'll wake up. I always wake up, and he oversleeps and doesn't. Anyway, sorry.
All right, well, anyway, I had intended not to come. And so I think the meeting was, at 7?
Yeah.
So I got, the day got long, and by the time I laid down, it was 4 o'clock. And then I know, hey, if the meeting, or no, it was 4:30. So then the meeting is at 7. That means I got to be up at 6:30, get my contacts. Like, it's a whole hassle for me to come in here. So I'm thinking, all right, God doesn't wake me up. I'm not setting this alarm. I'm going to bed. And which you know, and I hadn't taken my shower yet. So the next thing I know, I'm thinking I'm hearing bells, and I got up. I didn't even look at my watch. I look at my phone. I just went in and start taking my showers, like, all right, fine. And then I look, and it says 5:30. I said, God, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to get any sleep tonight? And then it was like, all right, then I got to go. So what I did was I just laid in the bed, then set the alarm to 6:40 p.m., and then I got up and came here. And as I'm here, and we're going through the stuff, and like I said, my nose is a little turned up that they were doing this, speaking this written prayer. And I'm just thinking about, all right, we're not here that long, but so the meeting got done at, what, 8:45? Mm-hmm. So now there's a 4-3 hour gap, and I can't go back to sleep. And once I'm up, I'm up. Crazy or not, I'm just up. It's hard for me to just shut it down like that. And so I took a little longer to get myself together to go to work. Now, the Christian thing to do was for me to go sit still and read God's word and before I go, but I didn't do that. And so I get in the car, but my heart was set on what God wanted at that time when I left to go to work, because most of the time I'm listening to Christian music, or, you know, music that I have my little playlist that keeps me centered in some kind of way. And normally, like I said, if I get to work 15 minutes early, I do go pray before I go in, because I need to know what God wants from me that day. And so as I'm driving to work, I pull up to the back door, and no sooner than I put the car in park, this song comes on. And the song was called, I didn't know until after I went back and looked at it, but I was just sitting there letting it, like, it caught my attention. And the song was called Make Room. And as I'm sitting there thinking about what the song is saying, God's already telling me, pray. And pray what this song is saying. And as I'm praying what the song is singing, the song was talking about the same stuff at the elder meeting where you had us doing the written, speaking word. And so now at this point, I'm like, huh. I said, God is doing something. But at that time, I was not laughing, and I was crying at that point, because the first thing the song led off into was surrender. And you know that's the word for me from God, to surrender myself. And it goes on to talking about this ideal of making room for God to do something. And if I'm so self-righteous, God will not have any room to do anything. And or whatever it is that we got going on, that if that overtakes what God wants to do because of the things of our kingdom, the things that are our traditions, all the things that keep us straight, per se, our own rules that we need to follow God, if we don't leave room for God to do something, we won't see it.
Yeah.
And so that song was just speaking that way to me. And as I'm singing it or praying it in the car, I was like, okay, God, you got me. So I was like, okay, whatever you want when I go in here, it's whatever you want, not what I want, not what I see, not what I think. And so this is now the first day that this new young kid is on the working with me as a technician. And so we're sitting there and we're talking. And I don't even know how we got on it, but he asked me something, and I said, we're studying the book of Jonah at our church. And he was like, oh, yeah, I heard of that before. And I said, well, I'm Jonah, and I run away. And he says, well, what do you mean? And so in a quick way, he was trying to figure out who I was or asking me a question. And I said, listen, when my parents were divorced when we were younger, and so I know when I got saved, I might have been 6 or 7, but I know God spoke to me clearly, because when I came out of the baptismal pool, I seen stuff. I kept that to myself, and I was like, yo. And from then on, he's been with me in some kind of way. Whether I'm off this way, that way, you know, I know we've been talking about the verses where, you know, God says, hey, if you make your bed in hell, he's with you. He was with me because I was in hell a lot, doing a lot of crazy stuff. But God was with me and redeeming me. So anyway, I told him that, and I said, then my parents, they got saved later on, and then they come in, and then they're telling me all this stuff. Like, I was ready to run away. I'm like, I didn't want to hear that crap. I'm like, I already know stuff. Like, I don't need you telling me what to do. as a young kid, you know, I'm a teenager. But that's how I was reacting to my parents getting back together, as opposed to I could have reacted, oh, look at God's grace. He brought them all back. But at the time, I was running away. He was like, running away? I said, yeah. He said, well, what were you running from? I said, what does it matter? It's what I was running from. I was leaving. It doesn't really matter. That's the thing. But I was going in the opposite direction of what God wanted. And I said, God slowly brought me back around. And then he said to me, because also at the meeting, we were talking about support missions to all these different groups. And one of the groups was called Crew, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And where we were wrestling a little bit with the ideal of, what are we supporting? And we were unclear of that, hey, these high school kids, they get mentorship and then they go out and, you know, mentor others
college kids
or whatever that was. And so this young guy named Jacob starts telling me, he was like, yeah, I was in high school, man. I see what you're saying now. He's because he talks very funny. He says, I see what you're saying. He says, in high school, there was a kid. I think he was my friend, but he kept talking to me about God, and I didn't really want to hear it. I told that kid I was an atheist. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, man, but you know what? He was like, I think that guy was right, and I'm listening to what you're saying. He's like, I think I trust God. I just need to be baptized. And so meanwhile, fast forward, we got to go all the way back. At the meeting, baptism got brought up. Mm-hmm. And it was, hey, we're September 21st. So we'll get all to it. But listen, if my heart wasn't ready to hear and see and whatever, I would have missed all that. So anyway, so fast forward. This kid said he needs to be baptized. And I was like, the 21st? He said, what? He said, my baptism. I said, yeah, the 21st. And he was like, what? I said, dude, the 21st of September. Is that when you want to get baptized? And he says, yeah. I said, okay, then I'll talk to my pastor and we'll set it up. So after that, we looked at each other. I hugged him, and I said, I loved him. And he says, hey, man, I'd love you too. But God was moving all along and doing these things where I'm thinking, ain't nothing going on, and I had enough. But I had made room in my heart for him to do something.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that song, all those things were just coming upon me in such a blessing. It was a blessing. And God was at work. And
that's awesome.
So if I want to play that song, and I know it takes about 10 or 12 minutes, but the worship team will come up after that, because without us knowing, like Jason didn't know that, and he picked songs today because he didn't really know what we were doing. He had a song of surrender, and I got a song of surrender.
So the Holy Spirit's moving.
He's moving. And so I would, if we have time, I would like us to just let that be our reflective moment to let God's, let that song, like it means something to me because I know what God was saying. But if other people might hear it, but if they listen and then just let go of whatever it is they're thinking and let God talk to them, I think things happen.
All right.
And so if you're willing, Kyle, you can play that, but this is reflective.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep this ocean on the screen. It's the ocean of Jonah, the ocean maybe you're being called to walk out on. If you contemplate by standing and walking around, feel free to stand and walk around. We're going to take that moment to, because when we say be still, it doesn't actually mean you have to physically stop all movement and be still, right? It means stilling your heart, stilling your mind. So if you still yourself by walking a little bit, then get up and walk a little bit. If you still yourself by kind of leaning back and closing your eyes, then lean back and close your eyes. Like, we want to be still before the Lord because we think he's going to speak in powerful ways to each of us this morning as we hear this song and then do the final song with the worship team.
Amen.
So let's pray. Lord, we'll keep this short and simple. Speak, for your people are listening.
Have your way.
Amen. Amen.